Okay, the Haftorah for Parshas Lech Lecha. What does it have to do with Lech Lecha? It's a good question. It is from the Navi Yeshaya. It is the end of Parak Mem, the beginning of Mem Aleph. It actually picks up from the end of the Haftorah for Nechama. So good to know we can continue. But why exactly is this the Haftorah for Parshas Lech Lecha? How does that fit into our Parsha? Many points to the Psukim, the beginning of Parak Mem Aleph here, where it says, it's talking about the Ribono Shel Olam and his protection of the Jewish people and the like. And the Pasuk says, Mi heir mi mizrach tzedek, Yikra'ehu l'raglo, Yitein l'fon av goyim u'mlochim yard, Yitein ke'efer charbo, ke'kashto dot kashto. So who has woken up a victor from the east, has called him into his service, has delivered up nations to him, he trod down kings, turned their made their swords like dust, and their bows like straw. So according to the Gemara in Tainus, Adav Chaf Aleph, this is a reference to Avraham Avinu in the Parsha, and the war that he waged. And in that sense, perhaps that's enough to link it. The Gemara tells us that the dust he was able to turn into swords, and maybe that's what the pasuk is pretty directly referring to with some of that language. That language of Yitein Kofar Charbo. So, okay, so it's an allusion, a reference to the story of the Parsha, and perhaps that's what connects it. But presumably there's more as well. And there is an article about this that was written by Rabbi Yonah Reish Shlita, in which he points out that he thinks there's a broader theme here as well, that this is indeed continuing the theme of Nachamu, and that we have a notion, Chazal tell us, that kol makom sha'ata motzei d'loso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shama ta motzei anvasanuso, that wherever you find the greatness of God, that is also where you find his modesty and his humility. And that's in the broad sense, the sense of taking care of people, of lowering oneself, so to speak, to be there with people in their times of challenge. And that perhaps that's why this Haftorah continues in that vein. That the Haftorah of Nachamu is about the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in building up the world and in dictating what's going to happen. And therefore, this Haftorah continues from that point with the theme of his ability to help those who are downtrodden. And in that sense, it makes sense also to allude to Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu is the Amud HaChesed. He is the one who modeled to the whole world how to take care of people, and therefore we continue in that path, and we are the recipients as well. And to that extent, the Haftorah is invoking him. And further, as Rabbi Reis also points out, that it's Avraham himself who could use the chizuk in the parsha. We read most of the nisyonos, or we counter most of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha. Say most, it's a little bit of a question how to count. We know the Mishnah tells us that there were 10 nisyonos. Rishonim have different ways to count them. and not all of them are explicit in the pasuk, but it's fair to say that most of them are from this week's parsha. So it could be that here as well, we are trying to find chizuk for Avraham Avinu. And to that extent, we have some pretty explicit psukim. If we go further down here in Mem Aleph, in Mem, in the beginning part, so we find the phrase "Nosein leYoiv Koach," right, that where Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives strength to those who are weary, to those who are tired. And the message here could be as well that Avraham Avinu himself is the recipient of the chiddik, the chizuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving. And of course, this phrase is extremely familiar because Chazal adapted it into a bracha. So every day we acknowledge the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who bestows strength even when you think you don't have any more strength, even when you're exhausted and weary and you don't think there's anything left in the tank. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instills strength within us, and that's the message to Pesukim later, the end of Mem, V'kayi Hashem yaflichu koach, that those who trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so their strength will be renewed, that they will get that ability to rise up. Yalu Aver Kinasharim Yarutsu Velo Yiko Yalchu Velo Yafu. Just like eagles are able to regenerate, so too the Jews are not going to run, they're not going to be weary, they're going to march on, and they're not going to be faint. So all of this chizik and all of this inspiration is provided to the Jewish people in general. And in a micro sense, it reflects also what was given to Avraham Avinu to be able to persevere through all of these challenges. There is an idea referring to that Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in Parakei that we should be like Avraham Avinu and be like the students of Avraham Avinu. That they have certain attributes, the Ayin Tova, the Ruach Shvela, the Nefesh Nemucha. They've switched those around. But essentially it means that they are possessed of a generous eye and a humble spirit and modest desires. And the question could be asked, isn't there something glaring that's missing from this list? We say you should be like the students of Avraham Avinu. Sorry? Achdach Zorchim is a good one too, although I guess we could contain that within the broad idea of Ayin Tova. But here, didn't Avraham pass 10 tests? Shouldn't we say he was an A student, but a student in a specific area? He was the master of Emuna. So why is that not listed as the attribute to look to Avraham Avinu for? And there's a sifa about this in this week's parsha by Rabbi Eliezer Geltzeller, Zichrono Livracha. It was a very special Talmid Chacham. Connected to my extended family, where he noted that in order for Emuna to be significant, it can't just be something that is internal. It has to be something that manifests itself in behavior. And that all of these midos, all of these attributes, these are aspects of character that express emuna. So, for example, Ayin Tova, to have a sense of generosity, you have generosity because you don't feel like life is a zero-sum game and that you're going to lose out because of what the other one has. And that mentality stems from emunah. It stems from a faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam that he has given you what you need, and that what you have is what's appropriate for you, and therefore there's no reason for kina, there's no reason for jealousy, and there's certainly no reason to think that you lose out from others' gain. So this mida of Ayin Tova is an expression of emuna, and so too a sense of humility. If a person recognizes that what he has is indeed from the Ribbono Shel Olam for the purposes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that also is going to reflect itself in his behavior as an outgrowth of emuna. So too, Nefesh Fela, all of this, it's all of a kind, that all of these are essentially expressions of Emunah, and in that sense reflect the fact that the Emunah that we are seeking is an internal attitude, but it has to translate into a difference, into how we act. And in essence, perhaps that's really where nisyonos come in. The whole idea of nisyonos, the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing someone, is from a hashkafic perspective challenging, and by its nature it's challenging. But what exactly is the purpose of a nisyon? So we come to school, so we have to have tests, I guess. Okay. We have to have tests so the teacher can know what's going on. Let's hope the tests ever actually accomplish that. But, like, theoretically, you have tests so that the teacher will know what's going on with the student. You take a driver's test so the government can know that you are qualified to drive. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu need to give tests? God knows what we're about. So as you can imagine, this is a topic which is discussed extensively. The role of Nisayon in Jewish Hashkafa is discussed by the Ramban, discussed by the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Clearly, it's got to be something more than simply ascertaining something on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who already knows everything. And there are those who argue that it's for the purpose of Schar. Others who would argue back, keep your schar and keep your nisyonos. But it seems like there is something here that benefits the testi, that benefits the menusa. As is often pointed out, that the nes is a banner. Nisayon is from the lashon of to raise someone up. The Rashiv of Keren B'Avner of Golvicht like to explain that the notion of a nisayon is consistent with a concept that we find throughout, that one needs to make something his own in order for it to be meaningful. That the Gemara tells us, "Rots Adam Bikav Shalo Yoser Mites Kavin Shel Chavero," that the person would rather have one kav, one measurement of his own, something that he really earned, that he created, that he developed himself, than many more times that something that he was given that he didn't earn. And parenthetically, the Rashiv explained, said that's the pshat in the Mishnah, it's different than we always think. If I ask you, Ezehu Ashir, right, what is the indication of wealth in the Mishnah? Hey, what does the Mishnah say? Sameach b'chalko. So what does that mean, Sameach b'chalko? Sorry? Oh, So that's, you know, that's not the usual translation, but maybe that's closer to what he said. That there's lots of the parsha, lot. So the usual understanding is that the person is not seeking more. The person's happy with what he has, as opposed to feeling unsatisfied and looking for something else. But the Rishiva explained, I think, was actually closer to what Sam was saying, that it's specifically that what he has earned, that he has created. So it's Hasamech b'chelko, specifically. And he points out that that's actually what it seems like, because the Mishnah quotes a pasuk that otherwise wouldn't really seem to fit. The pasuk says, Yegia kapecha kisochal ashrecha v'tov lach, that you will be fortunate and happy when you are able to eat from the Yegia kapecha, from that which you create and that which you have a kinyan on. So, which is an idea that we'll revisit in a minute. But in essence, his point was that as far as nisyonos are concerned, so if a person has worthy attributes, if a person has bravery inside of him, a person has rachmanis inside of him, a person has things that we would look up to as elevated qualities and their potential, so they're not really his. That's something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe instilled within him, created him with, but unless they're brought out into actuality, so they're not his. It's only once that you have been confronted with an Nisayim and you have to make this midah into something real, into something actual, so then that's a kinyan on that midah. Now that midah isn't just something that's possible, but it is something that is actually a part of you. And that's how he understood the purpose of these nisyonos, to make this potential into something that's actually yours, into something that you actually have a kinyan of. And to that extent, it's also important, this is perhaps another aspect of nisyonos that has been pointed to, that when it comes to the midah of whatever it is that's being tested, once the person who is going through the nisayon rises up to the occasion and actually does successfully what he's called upon to do, so through that he's able to inspire others. He's able to serve as a model for what is possible. We know the Gemara says that there were various individuals throughout history who had challenges, whether it was a Hillel, who had the challenge of extreme poverty, whether it was a Yosef, who had the challenge of unwanted attention from those who would seek to seduce him. So there are various people who had to go through extreme challenges, and they came out successful. And therefore, there is a component there that is for the rest of the world. And the Gemara has that language, Nimsa, this one, Mechayiv, that's whatever category it is. That the one who is able to persevere and to prevail in a context of Nisayon is able to serve as a model for other people. And to that extent, so the Nisayon serves a purpose as well, that not only does the one who is Menusa, not only is he able to make that quality his own, but he's also able now to transmit it. He's able to convey it to others, and that has tremendous value. And in that sense, that could also be why the Haftorah starts the way it does. There's a discussion about this in the Sefer Yunim B'Parsha. I'll say it a little bit differently. But if we want to just evoke Avraham Avinu, so we don't have to dip in to the end of Perek Mem, But it's there where we find these phrases of inspiration that we mentioned before about Tadosa, Le'av, Koach, and the like. And that is there in response to a description of the Jews being lacking in faith. So the opening pasuk here is Halo Yadata, Hem Lo Shamata, Elokei Olam, Hashem Barek, Tzos Haaretz, Lo Yaf, Lo Yiga, Ein Chekelus Finasa. That haven't you heard? Don't you know that Hashem created the world and He's not going to give up? And that is said in response to the previous pasuk. Lama Somer Yaakov Sedaber Yisrael Nistura Darki Me'Hashem Milakai Mishpati Avor. Why does Jacob say, why do they declare that my way is hidden from God, my cause is ignored by God? Right? In essence, the Jews seem to have lost faith, as the Haftarah opens, seem to be lacking in Emunah, and there is this reassurance that God will constantly give koach and re-energize those people who have begun to sense that He's not there with them. So perhaps the whole message of the Haftarah is to start off at that point and then to go into Avraham Avinu to show how Avraham Avinu is able to be one who can model Emunah and who can then pass that on to the next generation. And that could also explain a whole dialogue that we find in the Parsha, that Avram is told that his descendants are going to inherit the land, and he asks, "Bameida kirishana? How do I know this is going to happen?" So what kind of question is that? Right. What kind of question is that? Why all of a sudden now does Avram need proof? When he's told that he's going to have a child, he doesn't demand proof for that, and that's pretty unlikely. And here he demands some kind of proof, he demands some kind of guarantee. So there are various explanations of what exactly it is he's asking. The Maharal actually understood that it's relevant to this whole question of a Nisayon. Like we said before, the purpose of a Nisayon is so that one can earn what's going on. One can earn their qualities and their midos. So too, Avram's question is, I believe that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Neman, is going to give the land to the descendants. But what is their kinyan going to be? What is going to make it theirs? And that's why God responds, talking about the whole process they're going to have to go through of being strangers in a strange land. And ultimately, that's what's going to earn them their place here. But there is more to it also, that, and this is discussed as well in the Sefer Yidam Parsha, that it's one thing for God to say, don't worry, I'm going to go through with what I promise, and I'm going to give the land. But that's only half the equation. We need to know that the Jews are going to be able to receive. We need to know that they are going to do their part. Otherwise, it's not meaningful. And we can easily imagine scenarios where even when there is something lofty and invaluable that's being offered, if you have an unworthy recipient, then there isn't anything to have. So essentially the question could be, okay, so yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to come through. But how do I know that my descendants are going to be willing to accept it? It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot to recognize that this is the bracha that it truly is. And this is a part of what we see today, the whole awareness that it takes to recognize that the geula is even a good thing in the first place, and that brought back to Eretz Yisrael is something to look to with anticipation and appreciation. So Avraham is asking, how do I know that they're going to be worthy? How do I know that they are going to be the kind of recipients that we need? So to that, Avraham himself plays a role, that by modeling, and he himself goes through all of the nisyonos that are there to confront his descendants. I have a sefer at home, I forgot who put it together. It's a sefer called Asar Nisyonos. And it's a thick sefer where he explains how all of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu are representative of larger categories of nisyonos people have, whether it's in the area of parnas, or the area of children, or whatever other area it is, and various ways of chizuk and inspiration towards these nisyonos. But it highlights the notion that Avraham basically showed us how to get through all of the challenges, that he went through all of these challenges over the course of his life. And once it's been done, so we can look to him for inspiration in the very basic sense, in the sense that you see it's possible. You see that one can endure this and remain a beacon. So perhaps that's what the Haftorah is telling us, that the Jews are going to have questions about, is God really still with us? And the answer is, well, remember there was an Avraham Avinu. Remember there was someone who himself had challenges. God gave him energy and the ability to persevere through exhaustion and through weariness and to continue to shine. And he shines not just for himself, he shines for all the future generations, which essentially is what the Pasuk tells us in next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera, that Avraham is selected because of his ability to convey a message across and down, horizontally and vertically, to all the people around him, L'mana she'etzav es banav, he has beso acharav, so his descendants in the future, and his whole household now, they all receive the inspiration and the message that Avraham Avinu embodies. That ability to be able to make these feelings into something actual. The Mishnah we mentioned before that says you should be like the students of Avraham Avinu. So the Mishnah goes on to say that the students of Avraham Avinu, so they have a ability to eat in this world. It's the language of the Mishnah, Ochlan Ba'olam Hazah, V'nochlan Olam Hazah, Olam Haba, and they also inherit the next world. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Mishle, which is made more famous by the last Mishnah in Shas, which quotes it in a different context, but that's why it's always recited at Siyumim, L'hanche L'hova Yesh, V'osro Seyam O'malei, that God will ultimately bestow rewards to those who love him. The Gemara, the Mishnah Nuxin says, there's a Gematria Yesh, 310, 310 worlds will ultimately be given to the Tzaddikim. But here the Pasuk is used a little differently, and it says that Avraham's students, they will eat in this world and will inherit the next world. And the Rosh Yeshiva, again, Rosh Yeshiva Kavi Avner Goldberg, in a different Sicha, so he explained that the whole notion is that Olam Haba is a spiritual world, and in order to be able to appreciate the spiritual world, you have to cultivate in this world an awareness of what Ruchnius is. So because you pursue that which is spiritually valuable, so that's what allows you to be someone who can recognize Olam Haba for what it is. And therefore, the Mishnah says that Ochlam Olam Hazeh and Ochlam Olam Haba, because of what they do in Olam Hazeh, that's what allows them to have this appreciation for the Olam Haba, which is Kula Ruchni. And he went on to explain why the Pasuk says, Otsro Sehem Amalei, that I will fill their storehouses, that they create storehouses in this world through their constructing of an appreciation for Ruchnias. And then in the next world, they can be filled. Next world, you have the ability to use those storehouses to fill it with the Ruchnias that you appreciate through your activities in this world. And perhaps we could also say that the application of that pasuk, of Lahanchil Lohava Yesh, that God says He will bestow upon those who love Him, Yesh, is a substance, something that's real, something that is, and that maybe the whole message there is the transition from the instinct and the feeling and the Ahava into actual accomplishment and realization. And that's essentially what our Haftarah is saying also, and also the Yav Koach, that those who want, you know, as the expression goes, you know, they want to do something, but they don't have the energy, they don't have the ability to keep persevering. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you more. I will Yimachlif Koach, you'll have the ability to go forward. So that could be, in one sense, what Baba Eda Kirishana is conveying. In a more direct sense, so the Gemara in Maseches Tainis and in Maseches Megillah fleshes this out a little bit. We find that God's response involves telling Avram what to sacrifice. And the Gemara says that the nature of the dialogue was that Avram is saying, okay, so you're saying that my descendants will inherit the land, but what will happen if they should falter? What will happen if they lose their zchus, if they do the wrong thing? So to that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, and he says, so they'll bring karbanos, they will atone for what they have done, and they'll do tshuva. So Avram, with some prescience, says, well, that's all very well and good, as long as there is a Beis HaMikdash. But it seems like there will not always be a Beis HaMikdash. And what's going to happen then? How are they going to atone? So the Gemara there says that, so they'll recite the Karbanos. They'll learn the Parshas of the Karbanos. And that will be as if they brought the Karbanos. So as Rav Shechter often points out, see, this is what highlights how important it is to recite the Karbanos every day. Because here the Gemara is saying that this was the key way in which the Jews are going to maintain their zchus. So if it should ever happen in a theoretical world, this doesn't come up in real life, but if it happens in a theoretical world that someone comes late to davening in the morning, so if he has to decide what to cut out, so many people assume, okay, the karbanos are not so important. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Levrach, used to say that they're called sacrifices because they're the first thing to get sacrificed. But Rav Shechter often points out that it's really the opposite, that it's not such a clear chiyuv to say psukei de zimru. But say the karbanos, that's crucial, that's an important part of our daily avodah. So you have to choose between psukei de zimru and the karbanos. It's more important to say the karbanos than it is to say psukei de zimru. But in any event, so this is highlighted as one of the methods of kapara. But overall, we find that this whole dialogue of Bamei Eda is not simply saying, promise me, guarantee me. He's asking, what's it going to take to make sure that my descendants will always be worthy, that they will be able to fix things if they falter, that they will be able to make a kinyan of their own, that they will deserve it, and that they will be proper and worthy recipients, and that they will do their part. These are all among the interpretations that all kind of combine for this idea of Baba Eda. I'll just say one other point, that there is a striking medrash that in the very beginning of the parasha we're talking about this Yonos. So the first Nisayan is the Nisayan of Galus, so to speak, which can be extrapolated to model for his descendants. But the language that the parasha is named after, Lech Lecha, so that's the same phrase that we find by the Akedah, by next week, Lech Lecha El Hara Maria. So the language seems to parallel the two. And the Medrash actually says that we find Lech Lecha in this week's parasha, we find Lech Lecha in next week's parasha. Ve'eni yodeya eizu chaviv. And I don't know which one is greater. So that's very, very hard to understand, because one would imagine, as has always been held up in commentary and analysis for all these millennia, that the Nisayon of the Akedah is certainly the Nisayon that amazes us. To be prepared to give up your only child, why is the Lech Lecha of this week's parasha, why would you even think that there is any comparison? Where exactly could you go with that? So there are various answers, and it also reflects the question that Rashi over there says that you should go and you're going to get great bracha. You're going to profit from this trip. So what kind of an Nisayon is that? If I say, you know, get up and go on a wonderful vacation, or go move to this luxury environment, so how is that going to be a Nisayon? So there are various interpretations. Some say that it highlights the fact that he should go because God said and not because of the material benefits. Others point out that the idea is different than the Akedah, because the Akedah is one flashy moment and this refers to a Nisayon of every day. That's greater than the Akedah. But whether it's greater than the Akedah or not, I think we could note that what's going on here is that if we understand that the whole concept of a Nisayon is to push the limits of one's emunah, so that the question is, can your emunah maintain with this current challenge, which essentially is the Nisayon of the Akedah, not just with whether Avram would go ahead with the Akedah, but how would he be able to interpret that? Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised him that he's going to have descendants, he's going to have a family, he's going to have many, many people come from him, and specifically from Yitzchak, as Chazal understand the Pasuk, and now Yitzchak's about to get executed. He's about to die, so it looks completely impossible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise is actually going to happen. So to be able to maintain the Amunah in that context, that's really a Nisayon. So perhaps there's some relevance here also for the beginning of this week's parasha, that even when you're told, get up and go and move somewhere else, and you'll be very successful there, it'll be very good for you, there's still a Nisayon involved in that, because we tend to have a mindset, like we think that we understand everything that's necessary to be successful in life, and we have a certain picture and a certain model of what that looks like and what we're going to do in order to reach our goals. And if you're told that in order to be successful you're going to have to uproot yourself and go somewhere else, you're going to have to do something that's different. So that's an emunah challenge for us also, to be able to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately has what's best for us in mind, and that that might be very different than what we had pictured as the route to success. And to be able to embrace that and to recognize that. So that itself is its own Nisayon. And that very possibly is what the Chazal are conveying to us, that we should appreciate from the particular challenge of Lech Lecha. Okay, so these are some themes that connect the Haftorah and the Parsha. So So maybe we'll stop here, and wish everyone a Shabbos of inspiration and of being lifted up, not through Nisyonos, but through Simcha, and through recognizing all of the tremendous bracha that we find present in our lives. Shikach. On Sunday,